Kankakee Podcast is proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design Family of Businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. Learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com.
Thankful for the way they store. Time we won't get back, I know. These rivers carry
Hello and welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and this is our monthly episode where we team up with the Kankakee County Museum, and we're actually recording this inside the museum. We haven't done too many recordings at the museum. It's usually at the studio, but today it's kind of an extra special episode because coming up on May 21st, as you probably know if you've been listening to the podcast for a while or just been a resident of the county, we have the annual Rhubarb Festival that's coming up May 21st here on the museum grounds, and there's always plenty of activities to do for the whole entire family. This year, there's going to be something different that I don't think, as far as I know, ever been done before. There is going to be a special ceremony for three soldiers that were missing in action in Vietnam. Three soldiers that were residents of Kankakee County, and the organization that is helping do this ceremony in the garden is Rolling Thunder, the Illinois chapter.
Illinois chapter one, yeah. Illinois. There's three chapters in Illinois.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Illinois is pretty big. We're welcomed by Dennis, or LT. It was funny, Veronica was telling me, yeah, everyone called him LT. I thought maybe he was a lieutenant, but apparently it's a leather turtle.
Yeah, it's a long, boring story.
I don't think that's boring. I think it's hilarious.
Before we formed a chapter in 2001, a group of us would ride to D.C. every Memorial Day. They do a rally in D.C. where they get like 500,000 motorcycles on Memorial Day Sunday. And so we started out every year. The group grew. And one year, I shaved my head, and the guy riding next to me, a real good friend of mine, he shaved his head. One of the guys farther back in the group said, going down the road with our leather jackets billowing out in the wind and our bald heads, we look like a couple leather turtles up front. So that whole group became the leather turtles.
Oh my God, he's got a patch on. If you're not watching the video of this, he's got a patch on his leather jacket of a turtle with a leather jacket on riding a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's great. He looks like an angry Ninja Turtle.
Yes. And I always led the group. I was the first one to really, out of our group, to go to D.C. for Memorial Day. So then I became lead turtle. That's where my LT came from.
Before we get deep into more about the specifics of the ceremony that's going to take place at Rhubarb Festival, in fact, that's the first thing I think is that's pretty much what's opening the festival.
Yeah, 10:30.
At 10:30 in the morning.
Sharp.
Yeah. Let's talk about Rolling Thunder. How did Rolling Thunder get started, and what is the organization all about?
Rolling Thunder is a national organization. It's got like 88 chapters in 29 states. It's a nonprofit organization. Everybody that is concerned in the area is strictly a volunteer. Our main mission is, major function is to publicize the POW-MIA issue, to educate the public of the fact that many American prisoners of war were left behind after all past wars, to help correct the past and to protect future veterans from being left behind should they become prisoners of war or missing in action. And then we also help veterans financially, since Rolling Thunder Illinois formed in 2001, we've donated almost about $500,000 to Mantino Veterans Home, LaSalle Peru, Hines VA Hospital, many, many homeless shelters for veterans. Right now, we have a program where if you have a veteran that's applying for benefits and it takes time, they'll put them in contact with us and we research it, but we'll step in, maybe make a house payment or rent to keep him from getting evicted, get his electricity turned back on, real temporary thing. So I think we got it down to like 96% of the money we take in goes back out to help veterans and publicize the POW issue.
That's a huge percentage.
Yes, yeah.
So what is your official title then? Are you the head honcho of Chapter 1?
No, or? No, okay. I'm not. I'm just a member. I was the first president, but so they kind of hang that on me. But this ceremony that we're going to do on the 21st, Remembrance Table Ceremony, I'm in charge of that table ceremony. Other than that, I'm just a member.
And so obviously the name Rolling Thunder lends itself to everyone is pretty much a motorcycle, or everyone rides a motorcycle? Is that
No?
Okay. I guess the
name. I'm glad you brought that up because it got its name from a bombing mission in Vietnam in the 70s, I believe, early 70s. But although a lot of us ride motorcycles, it is not a motorcycle club. A lot of us are veterans. It is not a veterans club. It's anybody who's concerned about the POW/MIA issue and wants to help veterans. We have a lot of non-veteran members, and they're probably some of the hardest working members we have to promote these things.
I would assume a lot of times then, I know you mentioned that you help veterans that are living with expenses and things.
Yep.
Between that transition of getting them signed up for the VA benefits and all that. But I would assume, do you help fund a lot of efforts to try and recover some of the possible remains of missing in action?
No, that's a whole different department type
okay.
thing. When we do hear of remains that have been brought back, we get involved in ceremonies that actually, Chapter 2 out of there north of us, they just had a remains of a Korean War POW,
yes.
Belvedere. They brought him home. Here there was a young man, went in the Army in 1950, was captured in 51, died in a POW camp in 52, and then there was a mass burial. After that, then the were dug up and they were brought back to Hawaii where it was a mass grave. So over the years, they've been trying to identify remains, and they finally did that for this gentleman out of Belvedere. And it was a fantastic thing. The cemetery, they took the remains from the funeral home. They toured 11 schools going to the cemetery. And there was a family member there, and it's like, this is what we're about, a closure for people. You know, we, in all reality, even from Vietnam, we doubt that there's very many, if any, still alive. But families deserve a closure. They need to know that they're not the only ones that know that loved one didn't come home.
Is Vietnam, as far as POW or MIA, is that the war that has the most?
No, actually, no. From Second World War on, there are over 80,000 unaccounted for. Over 72,000 from World War II. Over 7,500 from Korea. Over 1,500 from Vietnam. 126 from the Cold War, which you never hear anything about.
No.
And 6 missing since 1991. Now, where are these military people, the 6 from 1991? You never hear of anything about this. And a lot of these cases, like after Vietnam and after Korea, and even after Second World War, the government knew that they were alive after the war ended, but they just wanted it done, deal. after the Second World War, it's known that when Russia invaded Germany, they took all the prisoners that were in German camps and sent them back to Russia. They never released them to us.
So those people are just, they probably perished in over there,
yes,
in Russia.
Yes, and just like Korea, a lot of them were sent up. And if you research the things, a lot of them were sent back to Russia to be interrogated, to China. Rumor is they were in China, that a lot of them were used for medical experiments.
I've heard that.
Yes.
I've heard that before. So,
and the bad thing is, our government knew we left live POWs behind.
In present day, then, what are some efforts that are being done to help either find the remains or maybe even help find some of these people that could possibly still be alive?
We have, I know in Vietnam, and I don't know how recent it is, but we had people over there that were more or less searching for remains, more or less, not live POW, but for remains. And we were paying North Vietnam millions of dollars every time they found remains. So they would leak them out.
So it was almost like they're pretty much holding the remains hostage.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, hey, we got something you might want.
Yeah.
But yeah, give us We want some money here.
Yes.
And then we'll get those remains
yeah.
to you. And does that still go on to this day, to your knowledge or to your
I think
expertise?
To my knowledge it is, yeah. And I don't think there's a big effort to get anybody released or found. During Afghanistan, there was one that supposedly he wandered off from an army post, disheartened over what was going on and all that. Bo Bergdahl out of Oregon. And they found out that he was being held prisoner. Rolling Thunder and Rolling Thunder of Illinois kind of led the pack on it. We put up billboards and everything else and wrote letters. Right or wrong, this man should come home. And then it kind of became nationwide with the other Oregon chapter, and that's when President Obama traded and got him brought back.
I think I vaguely remember
He traded like five terrorists for him.
Yeah.
Now they brought him home and they charged him with like desertion and collaboration and all that stuff.
Sure.
But that our whole program was bring him home. He doesn't deserve to be there. Right or wrong, good or bad. You don't leave him.
No, and he should not be there.
Right.
With that being said, that's pretty much the big part of this, right? Is just having closure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that ceremony that we will do at the 21st.
Yeah. So let's get into that. You know, briefly mentioned in the beginning, it's three Vietnam soldiers.
Yes.
They were residents of Kankakee County.
Yeah.
And they were MIA.
Yes.
As far as we know now.
Yeah.
Who are these Vietnam veterans?
We have Dean St. Pierre. He was Air Force. He was downed in an airplane in 1968. He went down. Then you have a Navy pilot, Kenneth Buell, from Kankakee. Date of loss is 1972. And then you have a Michael Ratton. He's from Bradley. He went down in October of 1969. But the table ceremony is for all POWs from all wars. If I remember right, I think Kankakee County has had three from like Korea that were unaccounted for.
You're just specifically going to highlight these
yes,
three.
Yes, we try to do that, yeah. We've done them in other towns. We did one a few years back down in Paris, Illinois, where we did it. And we put up monuments. In this case, we're doing a permanent missing man table here inside the museum. So that's going to be permanently. But yeah, our table ceremony, and it's an emotional ceremony. It only takes maybe 15 minutes. It's dedicated to having people realize that they're soldiers that didn't come home, that there's no answer to what happened to them.
And so do you somehow try to track down, see if there's any remaining family members
in
the area?
Yeah.
And did you find some for
these three
specifically?
No, we did not. No, no. Okay. And Veronica was going to look a little bit there too. But as far as anybody came out.
I mean, that's got to be hard because that's what, over, is it 50 years
50
now?
50 years, yeah.
So what does the ceremony all consist of then?
It's a table set up with place settings for each branch of the service. There's a group of five guys or people that will come out and they'll place their covers or hats at that corresponding plate. And then there's a narrator that'll go on, and it's the lemon on the plate stands for the tears shed for not missing. The wine glasses are inverted because they can't toast with us anymore. And it just, like I said, it's a very emotional, very nice ceremony.
How did you end up choosing the Vietnam soldiers this time around? How do you go through that process?
Before Vietnam vets came home, I'm a Vietnam vet. After we came home, first of all, when we came home, you didn't tell anybody you were even a vet, much less bring up prime things. You never heard of POW MIAs from Korea or Second World War. It just wasn't brought up. It was the Vietnam vet organizations that brought up that we left soldiers behind.
So they're like, hey, we've got all these people that are missing,
yes,
and we've got no answers.
That's right.
On, you know, whether they've been captured.
And yeah, you know, that's part of the rally that went on in D.C. every Memorial Day, that let the government know. There's people out there that would like answers to these things.
What's your experience then with Vietnam? What branch were you in then?
I was in the Army. I was in mechanized artillery with the 11th Armored Cav. I was over there in 66 and 67.
And thankfully you made it home.
And yes.
And what was your experience in Vietnam? What did you see?
Like I said, I was mechanized artillery.
Which is?
Self-propelled howitzers, like big overgrown tanks.
Okay.
We traveled all over. Our base camp basically was a little town called Swan Lock. But we were on the road constantly. We would go up. 11th Cav was a big order. It's a regiment. And when their foot soldiers, their grunts, needed fire support, then they would call us. We'd set up coordinates. We'd fire there. And we would support any infantry that was needed help. So we traveled all over. We were in places like, if you've heard anything about Vietnam, we were in the Iron Triangle and sort of things. So.
Okay. So did you see any fire then?
Yeah.
Plenty of fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything that sticks out in your mind?
Bad things you kind of don't want to eliminate from your mind. You just, you never will, but
yeah,
it's a war. There is no such thing as a good war.
And so for yourself, what has that journey been like to?
Like I said, I came home in 67 and I flew into Oakland from Vietnam. Now you're taking a situation where you're in a war zone and 2 days later you're a civilian. And then you didn't even talk about it. We were Vietnam vets. You can blame the war, but they were blaming the warrior. And you didn't tell anybody. I knew people for 10 years that I didn't know they were a vet. So I was married. My second marriage, my wife Linda, one of her good friends, he was a Vietnam vet. And I got to know him. And he belonged to an organization called Vietnow at that time. And my wife says, you should go to these meetings. They can help you with your problems. And I don't have any problems, you know. I don't have any issues. So,
what kind of issues did that cause you, not being able to talk about it?
Well, you have anger issues. You have when you see somebody that you knew killed, and then when you get home, you go, "Why did he die and I didn't?" You know, a survivor's guilt you have. then I joined, and you don't talk about war stories. You don't do anything. It's just you're there for each other, and you go on, and then you start doing more things and meeting more people.
And that's helped you, obviously, tremendously.
I think so, yeah. I was, to be real honest, I came home and I mean, I went to work every day, but I pretty much crawled into the bottle. Yeah. I had an alcohol problem.
Well, thank you for your service, by the way, Dennis. Truly appreciate that. Is there anything else you want to put out there about Rolling Thunder, about the ceremony?
I just can't give enough appreciation for the museum here and for Veronica. They bent over backwards to help us put this thing together and to allow us to, because we've done plaques and monuments and stuff in there, and they're usually outside, in which case, originally we had talked about putting one here, but people walk by those things all day long.
Yes.
And never really stop to read them. Where a POW MI missing man table in this corner of this room, people are going to see that thing. And we hope every time they see it, they stop and think about it.
And so on this table, is it going to include maybe these three Vietnam soldiers?
Or? These three soldiers are going to be on a picture frame on the wall behind it. It's going to be a one-place setting table, probably this table, 30-inch table, with one-place setting. And then it's the wine glass and a single rose. Right. And then it's going to have a thing on there that explains the meaning of everything that's on that table.
Dennis, this has been great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And thank you again for your service. And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you or Rolling Thunder Chapter 1 in Illinois?
Well, they can get a hold of any chapter there. We're all on the internet. Contact us. Chapter 1 is out of Warrenville, Illinois. Like I said, nobody is employed by Rolling Thunder.
Right.
So it's all volunteers. So. But we have people that work computers, and we have a full board, president and vice president and all that stuff. So, like me, I'm just a member.
Yeah. Well, you're a former president of the board. Thank you again, LT.
I thank you. And we thank the museum.
Absolutely. Right. Always thank the Kankakee County Museum.
You betcha. Absolutely.
Just a reminder, May 21st, 2023, if you are listening or watching this before then, the ceremony is going to start right at 10:30. It's actually right in front of Small Memorial Park, right when you get to the museum campus. Well, you'll see them all set up there, but that'll be May 21st, starting at 10:30 here at the outside of the Kankakee County Museum.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
That does it for this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. Thank you so much for listening. We are proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design family of businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. You can learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com. Also, a special thank you to our patrons for helping make this episode possible, including Don Geisinger, Diana Crowley, Joseph Lamont, Bill Parakis, Lori Craig, Oach, Karen Bishop, SLS Home Inspections, Seth and Mary Berkey, Jake Lee, Jesse Arsenault, Dave Barron, Veronica Featherston, John Sullivan, Sue Hornung, Samantha Rocknowski, Lake Iverson, Travis Garcia, Jane Bostwick, Dawn Harrison, Simon Topless, Scott Wright, Carrie O'Connell, Jamie Race, Joanne Berry, Anthony Vicelli, Eric Olson, Nolan Bukowski, Natalie Flagel, Carl Erps, Jeff and Rosa Carroll, Teague Dreenan, Sandy and Steve Twait, and Rose Lucky. To become a podcast patron, go to kankakeepodcast.com and then click on the patron tab. If you pledge $5 or more per month, you'll also hear your name announced on an episode of the podcast. There is also access to extended versions of episodes, video versions, and more. And our theme song, written and performed by Lupe Carroll, recorded by Daniel Bishop.